All right, my name is Seth Juarez. I am a technical evangelist with DevExpress. My particular strength is reporting or data analysis. Most of my training is in the field of artificial intelligence. I was a PhD student studying artificial intelligence, so anything having to do with data, data analysis, data shaping, prediction, statistics, that's what I love to do. But Miguel, he asked me to give a talk on this stuff, and I said, I'm going to do the hardest thing that there is because I can figure it out, and it's Prism, right? I think it's one of the more difficult things. At least it was for me. Anyone use Prism? Okay. It's a pretty hard ramp up, isn't it? Was it for you? Are you smart? Okay, well, maybe he's smarter than me, too. But it was seriously banging my head for a little while. I think I've distilled it down into its essence. Hopefully we'll have enough time to go through and really get a feel for Prism, how to use it, and why you should use it, why you should consider it. When I looked at it, it reminded me a long time ago there was this cab thing. And it turns out that Miguel was right. There is, what is it called back in the day? That's what it was. I remember a long time ago in Windows Forms, because I was a Forms developer, I saw this thing where you could dynamically just put stuff in. I'm like, whoa, that's cool. I'm totally going to use that. And then I realized it was going to take more than an hour to figure out, right? And so, yeah, I don't have time. That's not how we bill, right, when we're contractors. So that's the disclaimer. I just started it. Just what's that?
Billed by the hour.
Yeah. You going to heckle me the whole time or what? Like, just, seriously. So I am going to tell you what the point is. And hopefully I'm going to make the friction a little bit less, right? That's the key, because there is an important point to this. I'm going to talk about dependency injection. Anyone use that? Okay, good. I'll show you some slides that maybe will help you get a better feel for dependency injection, and we'll talk about that for a second. I'll do a brief overview of Prism, and then we're going to talk about the four steps that we're going to look at, and then I'm going to do like a file new, okay? Yes, it is a four-step. Are you going to heckle me the whole time, Miguel? I mean, seriously. Do you want to go sit with him so you guys can? And then we're going to write some code. So because I'm doing a file new, this isn't like all the other presenters in the universe that have those crappy snippets on the side. They're like, yeah, I'm going to write some code, and they click it, and then it's like, oh, wow, that was fast. I'm actually going to really write code. So what happens when you write code live? Great. Right? Because when I make mistakes, then we can see where the mistakes are, and we'll hopefully learn together. So that's the point, okay? So please be prepared. It's not going to be smooth the whole time, and that's okay, because is it ever smooth when we're writing these kind of applications? No. So that's part of it. All right. So the point of the composite approach is that you can really reuse a lot of things. There's another picture slide that I'm going to show you later that shows you how you can compose these things. For example, someone just came and asked me about a login, right? What if all of a sudden your login changes and now you need to go to Active Directory? Well, what if you could just change the code in one place, drop it in a bin folder, boom, everything's magically working again? Wouldn't that be great? That's the flexibility. What if you have two applications that have the same kind of search thing, right? How many search boxes and things have you written for your apps? Right. Imagine you could reuse those in the form of modules. You can also extend Prism, right? The code's all there. In fact, there might be times during the demo where we actually go look at what they implemented. And you look at the code, and it's not like magic. It's seriously some simple stuff. The other thing is it allows you to work in teams, right? Imagine you have the search thing that's very complicated because the user wants to search by every which way till Sunday, right? And then you have the viewer that's going to view your objects, right? Imagine being able to work on those in parallel. Right? Instead of having to finish this and then do this, by conforming to a standard or common infrastructure that you set up and then being able to do that. So it allows for team interaction to work in parallel, right? And the last is it allows you to have some really good quality because you can unit test almost everything. Do you have a question? Any questions? Okay. All right. I think I have two diagrams here that really, I think, get into the heart of what dependency injection is. The first one is this one. And the second one is this one, right? Are you going to heckle me again? It was a joke. Oh, do you? Obviously, it's just, how many of you feel like dependency injection is just like this sometimes, right? It's unicorns and rainbows. It's really not that. It's basically There's no, it's, that's past now. You got to let it go. It's next year. Next year. All right. Basically, dependency injection, as far as I understand, is a dictionary of types. Right? And it instantiates new objects. Right? And it manages the lifetime of those objects. Right? For example, you want to start something up as a singleton, which means you want it to last throughout your, that instance lasts through the whole app, right? That's what the singleton is, right? It should become clearer. But also, when it instantiates new objects, the dependency injection framework usually looks for the largest constructor, meaning the one with the most parameters that you put in, and it fills those in too, right? Now, that might seem, oh, that's easy to do, but what if the parameter that it's going to fill it into also has a really large constructor? Right, so you're starting to see this tree sort of feeling, right? When you instantiate an object, requires this object requires these objects, and so that's why I think these pictures are really good, right? Because it's going down this tree and instantiating objects as you need them and managing their lifetime, right? And so that's I think, dependency injection in like 5 minutes. Does this make sense? By the way, if you have any questions, please do let me know. I'd love questions because I really would rather you learn something than me show something, right, which is, I think, the most important part. All right, here is two applications, for example, Prism. Notice that you have, like, there are two different apps, but notice that they share some things, right? These are called modules, right? Notice that you can have the modules get data from anywhere. So when you think of your app, try to think of little instances or little sort of regions in your application that you can write. Like, for example, when you view a person, you always have this form thing, right? When you search for a person, you always have this other thing that has the box and the button and so on and so forth, right? Okay. All right, the process of creating a Prism app goes something like this. First, you build a shell, right? And the shell is just a project, right? That's this empty shell. I don't know what that's the only word I can think of, right? That defines regions, right? And the regions are where you can inject sort of modules or functionality, right? The second is the bootstrapper, which glues everything together, right? Because the shell has no idea what you're going to put into it, nor does it care, right? Which is the beauty of it. So the bootstrapper does things like initialize modules, initialize the dependency injection, right, in order to know what types you're going to be using and so on and so forth. The next is this common area, right? Even though the modules are indeed separate and autonomous, sometimes they need to interact via this common infrastructure, right? So, for example, you always have an interface to do a login, right? And in the common area, you're going to have a lot of data types, interfaces, and those kinds of things. Commands that are shared across all modules, et cetera. So can anyone think of something you might put in the common? Logging, very good.
Log in,
very good. Now, incidentally, I will tell you I taught high school for 8 years, so awkward silence is only awkward for you. I don't really care at all. I could just sit here all day and be like, yeah. So if I really want you to think about this, because one of the things about learning is if you make your brain seg fault, it learns stuff. It's really funny how that works, right? Notice the things you've learned the best are the things you've seg faulted the most on, right? So please do try to think about these things. The last thing are modules. You can have one to infinity of these, right, that fit into this little area. Okay. All right. So this is in a redundant slide, huh? So shell, again, has a bunch of regions, and in the regions you can put one or more views. Right? I think pretty simple. By the way, these pictures come right out of their docs. I didn't draw these, okay? So you can look at these. The bootstrapper, again, when the application starts, it creates the bootstrapper. The bootstrapper talks about the container, the DI container. It talks about the composition services, for example, region managers, event aggregators, or anything that needs to be shared, right? Then it instantiates the shell, and then it creates this sort of a library of modules to which it can access. Okay, any questions? Good? All right. So to review, this is what the hierarchy looks like. We have we have the host, right, which is this top thing that has the shell. The shell has multiple regions where you can inject things, right? There's also a view model for the shell. I'm not going to have a view model for the shell because it's not going to do anything. And then in the modules, notice that not necessarily backstage, but we have this thing that we've spent all day talking about, right? We have this model view model set up for each of the views in your module, right? And so this doesn't take a back seat. It sort of takes a side seat to everything that's going on. This is the reason why we started from, like, playing with XAML to advanced topics, because this is an integral part in setting up things, right? Okay. All right, any questions before we go to code time? No? Okay, good.
Can you do it without using Cobra?
What's that?
Can you do it without using Cobra?
The real question is, do we want to? So yesterday I had to take the train from church to come up to Philadelphia, right? So I could have taken a car, right, to the train station. But I decided to walk 4 miles. Yeah, for devs, we're like, oh, are you okay? Right? Because we're developers, right? We, right, you know that. So I, 4 miles. Now, did I get there? It took an hour. You see what I'm saying? We don't have that much time. So the answer is yes and no. Sure I can, but yes. Before we get into this, because I probably won't show you this slide, please write this information down if you have any questions. Again, I'm always here to help. I'm actually going to close down PowerPoint because, oh, by the way, I have this reference app that's already built. Just in case I run into a snag that's taking longer than, like, you know, 40 minutes, I'll just totally go back to the, no, okay. So here is Visual Studio. Still thinking about life. Let me do a new project. And how about we do Silverlight? Is that okay? All right. So I'm going to do a Silverlight application. What should we call it? We'll call it Miguel the Cuban. No, not for a while. We're not gonna do this. No, we'll just do Silverlight 4. And there you go, it's gonna start. That's what we're used to seeing. And I'm gonna, hopefully you've written some stuff down because I don't have my slides up as my crutch. What's the first thing we do? Shell, right? That's what we're gonna build. So the first thing is we're gonna build this lovely shell. And I'm just gonna delete this. And then I'm going to add a new item, and we want a Silverlight user control, and we're going to call it the shell. Okay? And what we're going to do is, we've all built apps like this, but we're going to draw it anyways. We're going to take this thing, and we're going to divide it up into this header thing, right? And then we're going to have this thing on the left, like so, right? This is going to be like a search thing, right, where we look for people, and this is where we're going to do like the view of people, like we want to see a person, right? So I don't know, what should we do? Should we do comic book heroes? Has that been done today? Or maybe like Star Trek? Why don't we do Twilight characters, because since that's Miguel's favorite, and so we can get this all set up correctly, okay? So we're going to have a search on the left, and we're going to have something here on the right, which shows the details for each person. We've all built apps like this, so I think this is a common sort of thing that we can do. The first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to move this out of the way because, yeah, it doesn't fit. And let me make sure that all my stuff is installed properly. There we go. I'm going to take the grid out because the grid takes too long. Hey, have you guys used a grid before? How long have you spent, like, working with a grid and it doesn't fit, and you're like, oh, gosh, this is going to take forever. So let me show you this really cool pot that I have. It's called a layout control, and we're going to use the dock layout control. I'm going to drag this on, and then I'm going to reset the layout, okay? So this is he talked about the de-ignorable thing, right? Didn't he talk about that for design time? I'm going to make it a little bit wider so that we can see what's going on. 500, and I think the height is pretty good, right? Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to add some regions, right? So let's go to the layout, and we're going to add, how many regions do we need?
Three, right?
One, two, did I click it twice? Two, three, very good. Okay, so there's the three regions. Now, what we need to do is we need to lay it out real quick, right? And we don't want to spend a lot of time doing that. So I'm just going to go ahead and right-click here, and I'm going to dock to the top. This guy is going to dock to the left, and this guy is going to dock to the fill. And you know what? This guy needs to resize, so we're going to allow horizontal resizing. So let's hit play, and let's see what we got so far.
Uh-oh, build errors.
Now let's see what we're doing. Oh, gosh, what happened? Yeah, I deleted this, so I need to go back and tell it, you know, run the shell. Oh, look, here's... By the way, Mahul is our ASP.NET evangelist. Maybe we should, like, do a little chat, right? Because I'm not busy right now. That could have been embarrassing, but again, I did teach high school, so not embarrassing at all. So there's the Solution Explorer. We need to go to the app.xaml. In the app.xaml, it's going to say, hey, where is my shell? And I'm going to say, use this instead. There we go. There's the layout, right? And sometimes we need more space here, right? So let's do that. This is the shiny pot. That's it, okay? And then we can sort of inject things in there, right? We're going to inject the shell. We're going to inject the search and then the view here. Does this make sense so far? Okay. All right. So one thing, though, is I don't like that thing up there. So title, is it stopped yet? Okay. So title, visibility equals collapsed. Right, because we don't need those. It's kind of just wasting space. Title visibility equals collapsed. And then last but not least, here, title visibility equals collapsed. Okay. And then we're going to set the left one to have a width of, let's say, 300. No. Yeah, 300 is good. Okay. All right, so now what we need to do is notice we haven't really done any Prism anything yet, right? So we need to add a reference to Prism in order to start doing things, cool things at least. So let me put this back. I'm going to add a reference to Prism. So let me do a browse here. Usually it puts it on the C drive. There it is, and bin, right? Silverlight, and we're going to put Prism right there. Close, and so we have this reference to Prism. And now what we need to do is we need to be able to talk about regions, right? So this, move this out of the way, because it's hard to, you know what, we're done with the design time. This is looking a little like it's too much. Okay, so we need to add XMLNS, I think it's regions. I better go back to the other code because I'm going to get screwed up here. So in a shell, you see we have this thing called regions. And so I'm going to do it like that. Right. All we're doing is defining a new namespace. Miguel talked about this, didn't he? Okay, I was paying attention the whole time, I promise. So these are regions, right? So we're getting that namespace in there. And now what we need to do is we need to be able to look at this, right? Because we want to be able to add a region in here. So the way we're going to do it is there's a couple of things that you can do, right? There's the items control you can put in here, which does repetition of stuff. You can actually make your own region adapter that allows you to put any kind of control in there. But we're just going to use a content control, which just says put stuff in there, right? So we're going to say content control, let's do name. This is, which region is this? This is the top, right? Header.
and we're going to say region manager dot region name equals header region, right? Does that make sense? No, we didn't want to do that. So in this header region, we're going to tell it
to stretch itself to fill everything, right? Because otherwise, you ever had these weird things in like Silverlight or WPF where things just don't fit right? So we're gonna stretch the horizontal content, right, so that it fits.
Vertical content alignment. Did I miss it? There it is. And we're gonna stretch. Okay.
Okay. So that's all I did. Right. We have this doc layout control. We put a group in it, right? It's collapsed. There's a header. I probably should have put real stuff in there, but I'm not going to for now. But we do have this content control, right, that says we are going to inject the header region in, right? The next thing that we're going to do is we're going to add it to the left pane. So let's see. Yeah, that's this one. So let me break these apart, and then I'm going to add an end tag. Oops. And so we'll just add another one, right? Content control here. And we're going to change this to left. And then this is going to be left region. And last but not least, we're going to do the same here. This is going to be the content. And this is going to be called the content region. Okay, we good? Yes, sir. The stretchy guy?
The stretchy guy. The horizontal, I understand. But what about the vertical for the header?
Oh, I didn't set the horizontal, the top to be scrollable or to be resizable.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm just gonna leave it for now. I mean, that's okay. I mean, I can change it. You want me to change it? It will go up to the max height. So there's a max height attribute that you can set on. I say attribute. It's really weird because I'm a web developer, MVC developer that also did a lot of Windows forms. And so now I'm in between. So I'll say property and attribute, but I mean the same thing, right? Because in HTML, it's an attribute, right? In Windows forms, it's a property. But now I have the best of both worlds. Life is good. All right, so far we haven't really done anything. Let's make sure it runs. Did I not add something? That's okay. Remember, I told you we might have some errors. And when we do, I think I'm just missing a reference. So let me see what we got here. Let me add a reference. Let me look at the recent ones that I've done. It might be this one, but I don't know. Okay, so that looks like it is. Incidentally, if you do want to see, it's a C drive. If you want to see the Prism code, it literally puts it in there for you. So there's Prism, right? I think it's under Prism Library, and then you can see everything. There's all the code, right? Incidentally, a lot of what Danny was talking about, they actually share files across these projects, right? Because you can reuse them everywhere. So you can look at the code. We might even look at some code later. So let's run it, and let's make sure life is good. No! Ah!
All right, now I'm going to have to look to my other guy. How embarrassing. All right, so let's make sure we have all the references set up. So we have Unity Extensions, Unity Silverlight, and Prism. That's it. All right, so let me go here, and let me make sure that I add the references that I want. So I didn't need that one. I needed this one and this one, I think. Uh-oh, that's not good.
Thanks.
Oh, that one. Close, and let's hit rebuild and see what happens here.
It actually might not work. Oh, okay. I know why it's not going to work. We just finished step one, right? What was step one? What's step two? The bootstrapper. What does the bootstrapper do? It sets up these things. Yeah, it has to. So this is not going to work because we don't have a bootstrapper. So maybe we should move on to step two. And, all right. So far, any questions? So I do have the right references. I probably have too many. But now we need to set up the bootstrapper. Otherwise, it won't know about regions, right, at all. So we need to set that up. Yes, sir. No, you have to go to, I think it's composite application pattern WPF version 10.5 preview 7 RC2. You know how Microsoft names things. So you can cut that out later, Peter, if you want. He's not paying attention. Okay, it's all good. Okay, so it just comes when you download it from CodePlex. And it's all in there. I'm using version 4, incidentally, if anyone's interested. Okay, so let's build the bootstrapper. So let me add the class. No, actually, let me just put it right here. Oops, bootstrapper. Right, and so we're going to take that out. And then we're going to inherit from Unity bootstrapper. Right, and we'll just do that. Boom. And then this guy needs to be in its own file, so there we go. Okay, so we just set up the bootstrapper. Oh, did you see how fast I did that? Anyone dizzy? I know, right? Which brings me to my next frying pan. Let me show you the yeah, that was Code Rush. All right, so we need to implement this guy, right? So we'll implement him. We have this system.blah-blah-blah-dependency object create shell, right? So we'll take that out. And what we're going to do is say container.resolve, and we're going to resolve the shell, right? But we need to make sure that we – is this not happy? Oh, of course it's not going to be happy because we need to using Microsoft.practices.. Unity, there we go. Okay, so that's the first thing. We need to create the shell. Why is it not working? Oh, because I'm a doofus. Let me say return, right? And then we're going to return that. All right, so that's the first thing. There's two other methods that we need to override. I don't remember what they are right now, so you hate it when you forget stuff. I must be getting a little bit older, which is, but thankfully, I'm not to the point where I need to carry a cane. You know, that would really stink. So I want to. Everyone, we can laugh a little bit longer if you want. It's okay. So we need to initialize the shell. Initialize shell, right? So we're going to do that. And then there was another one that we needed to override. What was it? Configure modules? Oh, good. Override. Configure module catalog. Good. Whew. Okay. Now I don't even remember what to do in this. So just to show you the code real quick, and then I'll put it in there. The create shell resolves the shell and says this is what we're going to use. The thing about Unity is it can resolve real types, right, without having to tell it, right? Initialize shell just sets the root visual to the shell, and the module catalog sets up the catalog, right? And so I'm going to steal this code right here. No, actually, I'm just going to steal this all and then watch it break, which is okay. Okay, so these ones are not going to work. I'll just do that, and then this guy needs a reference, so we'll add the reference. Oh, am I not inheriting something? Let's see, module cut. There we go. So there's that. There is the shell. There is the module catalog we're not using. There is the bootstrapper, and we're done, right? No, right? We got to tell the main, the app.xaml.cs what to run. Right? So we need to do that, and then we should be able to get going. So in app.xaml, instead of doing this, we're going to say var bootstrapper equals new bootstrapper, and then we're going to say boot.run. Okay, so that's it for the bootstrapper. That make sense? Let me go back to the code here, and let's remind ourselves what the bootstrapper is doing. Again, it's creating the shell, it's initializing the shell, and it's configuring the module catalog, right? Before, you remember, it didn't know about this region manager. So let's actually go to the code for this, right? And so you'll see that there's this code that they're implementing, right? For example, configure the container, configure the service locator, initialize the module, so on and so forth. These here will set up the regions properly, I hope. Let's cross our fingers and let's run the thing and see what happens. Here we go. Life is good. Mikhail the Cuban, our very first Prism app. Is it loading? So this brings me to a funny anecdote. I don't know what to say. It's not really. I'll give it a second. It's probably the internet's really slow, so it's having a hard time loading from localhost. All right, so something's wrong. When it doesn't load that as fast as it does, let's see. Where am I hiding? Well, that doesn't matter. So let's go back to the solution and let's look at it. Let's look at the bootstrapper. We've done that. The shell is good. Life is good. Root visual. Let's make sure that the shell is right. All right. Let's go back to the shell guy over here. Like the regions are set up properly, I think. The regions are set up right, okay. And the shell.xaml, okay. Bootstrapper is good. Bootstrapper run. Let me make sure that I didn't miss anything. So we're going to look at this and see if we can't do a little compare. So app.start, bootstrapper run. That's what I did before, right? Yeah, we did that before. No, That's a good thought. I wish it was. Oh, no. See, look. Oh, let's see. No. Here it's pointing to app. I don't see that there. Let's see what else we got. Unhandled exception. Life is good. So let's hit run and let's try one more time. Oh, here it is. What the heck happened before? That was odd. It was just being weird with me. Damn it. So that's it. Has anything really changed? This is why sometimes management is really reluctant to do these things, right? Because I just spent like a whole 8 hours, like 10 minutes, right? But still, you know what I'm saying, right? But you could get through a whole day just setting this up, and they're like, hey, what'd you get done today? Look, we got this really cool bar that goes really left. So you really have to take the time to explain why you're doing this, right? There's something called technical debt that you incur when you do things wrong, and you know what I'm talking about. When you're coding, you're like, oh, this is not the right thing to do, I'll fix that later. Right? You just withdrew from your credit card, right? And the more you take out on your credit card, the more the interest starts to accumulate. By the time you get to, you know, the app that you showed up, and the dude's like, well, we have this VB6 app interacting with Silverlight through XAML, and then it's going to call JavaScript, you know, because we really love Python. Right? That's a problem. So the idea is you need to try to sell this as well to those that are making decisions. Okay. So it looks like everything worked. We have the region set up. The bootstrapper is running. Life is good. I probably need to do a clean and a rebuild because these things don't go in the DLLs. I think there's app files, if I remember right. So everything is good. Now we're going to start to build this side. and this side, and we're gonna really build upon the things we've already talked about, okay? Which is the model view view model, commanding, and so on and so forth. I'll introduce you to something called a composite command. That's like a multicast delegate, if you've ever, anyone do delegates a lot, or do you always just like do plus equals and hope magic happens, right? Don't be afraid of delegates. All delegates are like a data type that actually does something. That's all it is. So. All right, so we're good. Everything is good here. We can take this out. Now we're at step number, what step are we at? How do I close it? There it is. Sorry, I'm used to, you know how you get used to where things are and then you have to go to like 8x6 to record and, So now the next thing we need to do is build some modules. Now, the thing about this next step is when you go back and forth, when you're building modules, you're going to go back and forth between your common, right, which is your infrastructure, and the modules, right? Because you'll notice you'll need something in the common so that all modules can do this. And so the way I'm going to set up this project is I am going to add a folder, and I'm going to call it modules. Right? And then I'm going to add a new project, and I am going to call it MiguelTheCuban.common, which I think goes well together. You know? This is common. Good guy, common. Like, I don't know where I'm going with this. But I think you got it. All right, so there's the common, and we're going to put some infrastructure classes in here. Right, and you'll see that as we go along, I'll put some stuff in here, put some stuff in a module, put some stuff in here, and so on and so forth. So, to dispel any myth, a module is simply a class library for Silverlight or for WPF. That's all it is. Okay? So I'm going to add a new one, and the first module we're going to build, so a new project, we're going to build the MiguelTheCuban.search module. Yes. Okay. So notice that all of a sudden we've really widened out, right? We've gone from one project to three. It's okay. We can deal with this. We're using Unity as a dependency injection. MEF is another one you can use. Or you can inherit and create your own bootstrapper. Say you really like Structure Map or an Inject or Castle Windsor, you can use those as well. And so That's I think, a benefit of having this be open source. Okay, so the very first thing that we're going to do is we need to have something to initialize the module, right, so that the application knows that it exists. So we're going to change this to search module, right, and then we're going to inherit from, let's see here, I module. And you're probably wondering why it's not going to work, because I need to add some references. Let's go to recent assemblies. We want Prism. We want Unity extension and Unity and Silverlight, so let's hit add. There we go. And when we do I module, notice that there is a modularity thing we need to add, and then we want to take the regions out, and so there it is, the initialize. Okay? So that's how you do a module. Right. Notice there's nothing happening right now. Okay. So, by the way, let me pause, because I do tend to go really fast sometimes, and I want to pause. Are there any questions or any doubts at all? I'm happy to answer them. I feel right as day right now.
We're learning.
Good, I love it. Okay, I'll keep going. All right. So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to say, you know what? If you want to separate this out really, really, really well, right, notice that you're going to have a service to do searching, right? Why would you do that? Yeah, you can reuse it across other modules. That's right, a separation of concern. You might, one day you might say, hey, we want to do searching directly to SQL Server, which is great. Or one day they'll say, hey, our budget's kind of low and, you know, SQL Server is so wonderful, but it costs a little bit more than we can afford. So we're going to use something else. We're going to use SQL Server Express, you know, because it's for Peter, because we're friends. Right? So we'll use something, or you want to use the cloud, for example. Notice that if you abstract out the searching to an interface, right, then you can switch that off however you like. Right? And notice that each module can be in charge of implementing its own interface. Right? That might not always be a good idea, but that allows you to see where do we want to implement the interface. Do we want to implement it in the common, or do we want to implement it in the module itself? We're going to do the latter rather than the former, just as an example. So the first thing we're going to do is we need to define a service for searching. So let me bring this up. Let me kill this guy, and let's add, I'll just go here. No, because I want to add a folder called services. So we're going to add a folder, and we're going to call it services, right? And we're going to go to this class, and we're going to say this is .services. And this is going to be we were going to search like Twilight characters for Miguel, right? So we're going to do I person search service. And this needs to be an interface. Okay? So what kind of things do we want to do with this interface? How about find? Right? So the first thing we're going to do is we're going to say observable collection. Are you talking about observables? What? Great, Miguel. You're cutting into my demo time. All right, dude. And we're going to say this is a person. And we're going to say, yeah. So we're going to say observable collection of persons, find string text, or string search. So the first thing you're going to notice is that we don't really have an observable collection, so let me use that. Next thing is we really don't have a person, so let's make one, right? So what kind of things do we want to have with a person? This is Twilight, right? What's that? Okay, so we're going to say first name, and then we're going to say, last name. And then how about a birthday, right? Anything else? Holy cow, look at that class. Yeah, it went really fast. Yeah, there's some things we have called templates that allow us to do stuff really fast. Like while I was talking, I just moved it to its own file. Right, did you see that? You know what? That class one is wrong. So let me fix this guy. Okay. So, there's some, like, for example, let's talk about, say you wanted to get, like, I don't know, their age is kind of redundant because we have birthday. Give me something else with an integer they might have. Oh, yeah, vampire or wolf? I like that. That's kind of like an enum, though, right? So public monster type, right? Type get set, right? And so we have that. Notice we don't have one of these. So let's make one, right? So there you go. But there's nothing in there, but we'll add some later, right? So you can do stuff like that. So I think that's the cool part, right? Okay. So this is a person monster type. Should we give them IDs? Nah, it doesn't matter. We'll just leave it like that. Okay. Notice that this, though, doesn't belong in services. We're going to add it a new folder called data because I am so retentive that I like things to be where they need to be, right? And we're going to change this to data. Okay. All right. So we built this person that we're going to do searching off of. We built this iPerson search service that's going to do the searching, right? Now the next thing we need to do is we need to implement everything, wire it up, and see if we can inject it into a region. Okay? Actually, let's try to inject it into a region first before anything else goes wrong, right? So we want to baby step this puppy. So the first thing we want to do is there's the search module, right? It's not initialized. But the important thing that we want to do is when we create the search module, we want to have this notion of regions, and we want to have this notion of containers. So I am going to create a constructor here. Don't have that one in here, so I'm going to do search module.
And do
a CC there. Oh, yeah, I did not know that. Who did that?
You already have Code Rush. I was going to give you one. You already have Code Rush? Who's your friend, man? You got to, like, you give it, I'll give him one. That was just excellent. Okay, I'll tell you how I learned Code Rush. It's different because anyone know who Mark Miller is? Okay, so I pair program with him because we're working on this interface to the Visual Studio with the Kinect where you can program with your hands. Huh? Yeah. Well, now we're going to do Kinect programming with our hands. It's going to be way cool. So him and I pair program a lot. And I write like 100 lines of code. He's like, Seth, stop, stop. Erase that and let me show you a faster way. I'm like, dude, I already wrote it. Do it. Yes, sir. Right? And so this is how I've been learning. So one of the things we need to do is we need to say, we need it to know what the region manager is, right? So it needs to know that. And so we're going to say region manager, right? And then we need it to also have information about the container. No, but that's okay because, right. I feel silly. That one's spelled right, though, right? Container. So a region manager. At least. So there you go. We good? Okay. So we want to be able to have these accessible everywhere, right? So let's make some. Oops. Let's declare a field there. And let's do another one here because we need to have those, right? Because we write code like this all the time and it's annoying. So there, I didn't have to write it. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to say, okay, now that we have a region manager and now that we have a container, right, let's go ahead and wire up this module, right? So the first thing we need to do is let me implement real quick the service, those services. And let's add a reference here to common. Add, close. And here what I need to do is I was implementing something. Sorry. Completely spaced that. So I'm going to add a new class. And we're going to call it, what was it, person search service. There we go. And this implements from iPerson search service. And then we don't like these, and we need to take these out too because nobody likes that. Okay. And so, oops, looks like it doesn't know anything about this either. So I'll have to control dot this, and life is good. Okay. So we're going to make some people. Obviously, all right. So the first thing is let's make an observable collection. Collection equals new. Observable collection of person, and there we go. And then we're going to say return collection. So far, so good. And we're going to say collection. You know, that name is a little too long. Let's change it to something not as long. How's see? That's better. And so we'll do c.add, and we're going to say new person, right? And in the person, we need to have a first name. So which one's your favorite again? Edward? And what's the second one? What's his last name? Let's see. His last name is Cohen, I believe. Okay, so I'm going to have to confess. I know. I have definitely turned in my man card. I decided that it would be nice if I read a book with my wife. So, yeah. Can anyone guess what we read? Type. Let's see. What can we do? Monster type. He's a vampire, right? Uh-oh. There it is. Let's see. Birth date equals new... we'll do datetime.now. Now.addDays minus 1. Because he indeed was born. Oh.
thought I left my machine unlocked for a second, and I was like, oh, it's right here. Don't leave your machine unlocked with these people back there because, yeah. All right, so what's the other guy's name? The dog kid. Jacob something. What was he? How do you spell that? Where? No. Where? Like that? This demo is turning into something I didn't want it to turn into, right? So there's the... By the way, did you guys see how fast I did that? Yeah. Which brings me to my next fancy pots and pans. Okay, so that's all we're going to do. So we're just going to do two of them. There we go. Okay, so just a little reminder of where we are, because sometimes I think we lose context. Right now we're developing a module that requires a service, right? In order to have this module show up, right, we need to have a view. Right? In order to have a view, we need to always implement this special class called a view model. So we're going to do that real quick. Okay? So I'm going to make a folder called views, and then I'm going to add a new item. We're going to do a Silverlight user control, and we're going to call this the search view. Right? There it is. And we're just gonna play around with this a little bit just to make sure it gets injected in the left region first. Okay? And then we're gonna design the thing. So in order to have a view, we also need to have view models. Okay, before you ask the question, I will answer it. Danny talked about having your view models in their own DLLs. That's fine. Right? I'm putting it in the module. That's fine. Right? You can put it anywhere you want. That's fine. Right? You can write a Python class for it and load it up dynamically if you want. I don't care. If you want to go that way, you know. So here is this. We are literally just going to put a text block in there. Is that okay? Just to make sure everything is injecting properly. And then I'll flesh out the view model. So what did I say, text block? Text block name. I guess you don't need the name test, right? Okay, so there's the text block. And the next thing we do is set up the view model. The view model is the search view model, right? There is the search view model. And the search view model requires something, right? What does the search view model use? Well, I'll give you a hint. Rhymes with Urson Search Service. Starts with a P. Yeah, exactly. Urson Search. That was usually my high school students like that joke. I guess we're not going to. I Person Search Service. Service. I am in. Okay. So there is the view model, right? That's going to use a search service. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to implement a string just to do the binding, just to make sure everything's kosher. So we're going to say title. And there you go. Okay. What is that one special thing about view models that we need to implement always? This interface. I notify property event args super class long name, right? How about we do this? Instead of having to implement that every time, what would be a good idea? Create a base class for view models. Where do we put it? Yeah, exactly, right? Because all the views, all the modules are going to use this common thing. Let's call it view model base. So let me add a class here. And let me call it view model base, right? And the view model base is going to inherit from I notify property. Is that it? No. What is it called? Changed. Okay, there it is. Okay, so we don't want this. And all we really want to do is just have like an event, right? My mouse is being weird.
So let's just go ahead and create the event trigger here. Good, and we only want to pass a string in here. So let's take this out. String property name, right? And here it's not going to be happy. So I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say new property, property change, blah blah blah, property name. Okay.
That makes sense? I just implemented it. So now if I inherit from ViewModelBase, I can do onPropertyChanged everywhere. You might want to also do other things in ViewModelBase, but for this demonstration, that's all we're going to do really. So let's go over back to this guy, search ViewModel, and this guy is now going to implement ViewModelBase. And there you go. And so one thing we need to do is on set, we need to say if title does not equal value, then something's changed, right? So let's set that here. We'll do that, and we'll say on modify property change. Yeah. That make sense? You see how I did that? Now, this is just the demo title thing that we're going to do just for binding for now, but that's how I would go about it. And then when we instantiate this thing, we're going to say title equals it works. Okay. So we set up the view model. We set up the view, right, with a text block. Let's bind the search view to the view model title property, okay? So we're going to do this, and it's going to seem really, really, really weird, but trust me, it works. What does the search model need? Right. Okay. Then we're going to say the magic word data context equals. That's it. Right? Does this make sense what I did? Okay. Right now, I'm in this search view XAML CS code behind for the XAML, right? What I'm saying is if you're going to instantiate this, it better have one of these. Does it? Hold on, you'll see. That's why I had that magic unicorn slide and the rainbow, right? Seriously, you don't remember that slide? Right, so these guys need to be together, right? Wait, why are there two search model views? Oh, what? Oops. Jeez. Now I see it. I saw. How embarrassing. I think I implemented one too many. Let's see. Search model view. Search view model. That's where it got weird, huh? So it's like I went too fast. Thanks, Code Rush. I went too fast. Search view model, right? It would have injected it in, all right?
Yeah.
All right, so there it is. There's the search model view, right? These two are paired together. But notice how they're paired together, and it's in a way that you that's weird, Seth. How does that work? Who instantiates? Do you call the constructor from here? No. Where does the constructor call from? Unicorn. All right, I'll show you how to do that. All right, so let's go to the search module right here. And what we're going to do is we're going to say region manager dot, let's see, register view with region, right? And the region name that we're going to be putting in it is the search region, right? All right. Oh, you're right. Thank you for that. It's your demo, and you don't even know what you call things. I know. I indeed called it the left region. Well, you know what? It probably would have been good to let it break, right, just so you could have watched me sweat a little bit more and also see what was happening, okay? So there's that. Where was I at before? I have way too many windows open. Let me close all documents.
Oh, shoot.
Anyone ever have that happen to you before?
That was Visual Studio at its best. I have to kill it. Yes. Oh, geez. No, I'm not going to go to the backup one. I'm going to kill the process and load it up again. Is it? I hope not. Recover selected files. Sorry about that. Every once in a while, I have lots of stuff. So sometimes, you ever tried like running three versions of Visual Studio? That's like crossing the stream almost, right? Okay. So let's see. We are still loading, and I've got 10 minutes, so I got to hurry up here because I'm running out of time. So there is the search module, right? Let's hope the view model survived. The view model indeed survived, right? The search view is still just a text block. Is that correct? Yes, it is. Oh, we need to set the binding, right? So we're going to say text equals binding. And what do we call it? Title? There we go. So there is that. I'm glad I didn't forget that. Now in the search module, we need to tell it how to start itself up. All right, this is where the magic unicorns come out. So Control S, we're going to say region manager dot register view with region. And let me put this here, left region. And now what we're going to do is we're going to do something crazy. We're going to say, right, container dot resolve. And we're going to resolve the search view. Okay, why do it that way? Yeah, because when I build this, this is automatically going to do what? Inject the view model into the view. Right? Okay. So that's all we need to do, right? Are we done? Should I just run and see what happens? I'm going to run it. Uh-oh. Let's go back. No. Oh, I need to. Hold on. Let me rebuild. Let me clean it. Oops. Let me clean and then rebuild because I think there's something wrong with the shell.igs. Okay. So let me clean and let me rebuild. So there's probably something wrong with something. Okay. Here we are. There we go. It doesn't know about person. Okay. So let's rebuild here. Nope, there's something else. Search model view. Oh, remember, because it, yeah, nice. So this is because of the restart. It had issues. So there you go. So let's run it again. There we go. So what should we see on the left? Wait, we're supposed to see this is working, right? What's going on? Okay, let's go through the steps again. First, build a shell. Second, what did I miss in the bootstrapper? Yeah, it doesn't know to load the module, right? So let's tell it to. Okay, so here on the thing right here, we're going to go to the bootstrapper, and we're going to tell it, again, what we need to do. Right? Let me get this out of the way. And so let me just kill this, right? All we need to say is module catalog dot add module. The module is going to have a type, so we're going to say type of, right? And we're going to add a reference. We have to add a reference here. Okay, so you're probably thinking, well, that's weird, Seth. I thought they didn't have anything to do with each other. They don't. You can use mef.d
to automatically discover them. Meph will not require you to do this, or maybe it does, I'm not sure. You can also load, if you use dependency injection a lot, you can load it from the DI container somehow, or you can do whatever you like. Okay, so I'm going to save some time and just give it a type of. And the type of that we're loading is search module. Okay, so there it is. All right, let's load it up. Let's hit F5. I only have 6 more minutes. Uh-oh. Search view. Miguel is searching name none. Invalid operation in the current type. Miguel Cuban serves as an interface and cannot be constructed. Are you missing something? What's going on, people? This is where the magic unicorn stuff starts to get a little weird. Where does Unity know about how to implement IS person search service? Nowhere, right? I need to tell it to do that. So let me show you. So I'm really glad that error happened. That's me covering it up. Register type, IS person search service. Person search service. Okay, that's how you tell it. Whenever you see this, give me that. Whoa, hey. That's when the boss comes in and says, hey, what'd you get done today? I know, right? This is good stuff. All right, so I only have 5 minutes, so I want to maybe pause for a second and ask to get any questions you might have. Any questions so far? Yes, sir. Because it is. I mean, it really is. Now, I'm going through it and trying to make it funny and trying to break things, and because I want you to remember this.
Just talking about Prism itself, like MVVM on its own looks relatively okay to get started, but with Prism, it seems like there's a lot more that you can start before you can take it.
So the question is, why does it seem a little bit harder using Prism? Now, here's the thing. Notice that there's really not very many concepts that I've introduced that are new, right? We've used object-oriented design patterns, right? You've all studied these, looked at them, right? We've used dependency injection. We've used separation of concerns, which is another object design pattern. We've used some controls to lay stuff out. And I've created this view that uses the view model. Where's the confusion? Oh, yeah, regions. That's right, we do have regions. Oh, yeah, then there's those other things, right? No, okay, so you're sitting there thinking, why would I do it this way? Okay, now that I have this set up and it works, how much easier is it going to be to define, I can put anything I want in here now, right? Anything. Right here, how many things are you going to have in an app that are going to be in the full window? 5, 10, 15 things? Usually, if you have a dev team of 5 people, right, you're like, hey, did you get the X screen done yet? No, not yet. Oh, okay, I'll just sit around and play solitaire. Here, you can develop these in parallel, right? The only code that you might be touching is the common, right? But notice that when you say, here's a common thing, you're going to tell 2, right? Can you move that implementation in the common so I can use it as well, right? So it is hard. But again, do you want to pay for it now or later on when the boss comes over and says, hey, I want to add a really cool screen, right? Every time you hear that, what are you thinking? Oh, gosh. I'm supposed to go to Disneyland this weekend, right? But now, right, now you're just thinking, oh, okay, I just need to add a new module, right? So you're either going to pay for it now or you're going to pay for it later. It's up to you. Usually most organizations pay for it and then you get fired, right, because you were an idiot and didn't do it right. The dev after you comes in and calls you an idiot too, remember? How many of you had that happen? Exactly. That's going to happen here. The dev's going to come in and be like, I don't know what he's doing, right? But at least, right, at least this particular pattern allows you to build these things in a composite way. So is it hard? Yeah, it is, indeed. I spent an hour just really just showing you how to set it up, right? I spent a week figuring it out, right? So in the couple the minute I have left, any other questions before I just – yes, sir. Right. And why is that important? Let me just repeat his comment. He's saying that the modules don't know where they live in the shell. They just know the name. Why is that a good idea?
Because you're doing loosely coupled modules.
Mm-hmm.
So no module or the shell should know where anything else is.
So no module should know where the shell is.
They don't know where the shell is. The shell actually should not have any knowledge about the module. So I realized the demo can have a reference to the shell.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Load them up. Which is great. So you can literally drop modules in and it just knows, right? The other thing, the reason why it's cool that the module doesn't know anything about its container is the boss says, hey, I want the search to be on the right, you know, because I saw that it was really cool and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Does that bother you? No, who cares, right? You literally just changed the doc type of this one to write. You changed this to content, right? And you changed the name of this region to search or left region, or I should have called it search, right, instead of positional more, and you're done. So hopefully that sold you a little bit. It is a complicated pattern. That is why we saved it to last after you've had your piece and are sleepy, right? What's that? Great question. So this was part of the demo also. There's something called a composite command. So, for example, let me set one up here. You guys have time? Okay. So in order to do this, I'd have to build another module, et cetera. I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to add a folder called commands. And I'm going to add a new class called common commands. Right, we're going to make this static, and we're going to say public static composite command person command, for example, equals new composite command, and also we can say that this command takes a person type. Think. Well, let me see. No, I guess we can't. Well, honestly, we should build one that does. Seriously. All right. So a new composite command, right? This command now is available everywhere, right? Did you talk about commands, Mandy? Okay, so all a composite command is it's like a multicast delegate where people can register on with that command, and whenever that command is fired, everyone that's on the receiving end gets it as well, right? So just because I see people are leaving, say you had a button to do search on the left-hand side, right? You hit the search button. Right? What is it called? What is it bound to? The composite command or a different view model command that is tied to the composite command, and then the composite command is fired. Everyone that registered, every module that registered with that will take the event and do something. Yes, sir? That help? All right, so this is the end of this, but before we go, I want to talk about something, but Peter, you need to stop the recording because I'm done. Oh, okay. So Miguel said that this composite command is static, so it lives across the entire app, right? So any module can register to this static object because its scope is a singleton across the entire app, right? So you can have anyone fire off this thing, and everyone that subscribed to it will get it, right? An example is you have multiple tabs, right, and you have a button that says save all. And so for each view in your tab collection, right, you can subscribe to that event and call a save for each module, right? Does that help? Okay. Any other questions? But don't leave. I need some help with something. Yes, sir. I would do two commands, right? One that goes one way and one that goes the other way, right? Right, so say, for example, okay, say you have the search right on the left and you click on one of the users that you searched, that's supposed to open another view, right? Or that's supposed to change the current view, right? So you have that command, right, that the view on the other side is subscribed to, and when it clicks it, it gets the notification, it refreshes its current user. Say on this view you have a little quick search box as well, right? You click that. You have a person search command, right? This guy is subscribed to it. When you click this button, it fires the person search command. The search module gets it and says, oh, I need to refresh the search list, right? And then just do it that way. You see that? Does that help? Any other questions? Yes, sir. Ma'am. Sorry. That's not possible in Silverlight. What's that? The question is, can you have multiple shells? I don't think it's possible in Silverlight. You might be able to pull it off in WPF. And the reason why is because once it's loaded, it's loaded in Silverlight. So, first question, is shell more like a window? Yeah, it's a window in WPF. Over here, yes, sir? Can you remove and add modules at runtime? Not sure. I've never tried to, but with MEF, you can definitely load the modules up at runtime by using some kind of discovery policy. What's that? Oh, man, that's getting into its inception territory. I don't know. I mean, what are you going to use as your I guess you could. I don't know why you would want to, though. It's already complicated enough, right? Any other questions? Oh, I'm sorry. The question was, can you have regions within regions? And the answer is, that's pretty scary. I don't know. Maybe. Try it. Let's see what happens. You can? Okay. Yeah, I guess you can. I don't know if I'd do that, though. It's already complicated enough for me. You guys are probably smarter than me. Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you very much, but don't leave.